This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An update from Washington on the effect of the U.S.-China trade deal. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Good morning. In early trading, now that the stock market is open, we find the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 30 points, a tenth percent. S&P 500 up 0.2%. The NASDAQ Composite Index up a tenth percent. Bond yields moved higher this morning, 1.84% for the benchmark 10-year rate, after news today that new home construction in December hit a 13-year high, up 17% for housing starts. And our Friday market open guest, Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial, is just back from high-level briefings in Washington. Hello there.
Good morning, David.
You are just back from Washington, D.C., getting high-level briefings. You get the White House point of view here now that phase one of the U.S.-China trade deal has been signed?
We did indeed. Tyler Goodspeed from the Council of Economic Advisors came in and gave us a briefing. This was to the American Bankers Association Economic Advisory Committee. And he emphasized the end game. The end game, he reminded us, is 0-0-0. That is zero tariffs, zero trade barriers, and zero subsidies.
Yeah, what kind of world does that happen in?
The phase one goal was to reset a level playing field. So the idea is there's all sorts of barriers to U.S. trade in China. The idea was to put up some equivalent barriers on the U.S. side. The goal of phases two and three will be to take all the barriers down. I think 0-0-0 is essentially impossible to achieve, because if you think about it, zero barriers to trade, but somehow protecting national security, you know, pure zero doesn't make sense. But it does make me a little bit more optimistic about phases two and three, because if you remember the trade negotiation that broke down last year, the problem was both sides worried about losing face. And now that we have a structure where both sides have something to give, it may be easier to reach a better deal. We'll see. But we probably won't see till after the election.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, the chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The U.S. Department of Labor is making a change to how journalists report on the release of government data. Right now, reporters turn in their cell phones, but then get put into a lockup for half an hour or an hour, just like when the big monthly jobs report comes out. So they get the data ahead of time, but then they release it all at once. This is so they can snap cogent stories right on the deadline. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is on the line. She says that reporters had been using their laptops, but no more.
No more. Reporters in the lockup are still going to get the data in advance, but those laptops are going away. Starting March 1st, reporters are going to have to write their stories using pen and paper.
Pen and paper. What is the rationale?
Well, the Labor Department says it wants to be sure the data is secure. And David, this is market-moving information, including the jobs report. But reporters in the lockup room don't have access to the internet. They write their stories ahead of time and then transmit them when the internet access is switched back on. The Labor Department says some news organizations have an unfair advantage, making a profit by packaging the data. And David, the Commerce Department is also going to use the new lockup rules for its data releases, including reports on GDP, the main gauge of economic growth.
Any reaction?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Society for Advancing Business Editing and Writing says the new lockup procedure could actually give high-frequency traders an advantage because they have sophisticated software that could get the data from government websites before the public. There are also concerns that those websites could crash.
That's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer. We have more on this with Kai Rizdahl, marketplace.org right now, or in the Marketplace podcast from last night.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
At some of the company-owned Taco Bell locations, the boss will make $100,000 a year after a new raise. This is the company-owned restaurants, not the franchise ones. This is a sign of a tight labor market, but also confirmation that these places tend to fall apart without managers who know what they're doing. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
When Stephanie Lask was promoted to assistant manager at Wendy's in the early 2000s, she was in her early 20s and got a pay bump to $30,000 a year.
But I worked so much.
The new job came with 50 to 70 hour work weeks, unpredictable schedules, understaffed shifts, no overtime since she was salaried. And as a manager, she had to deal with a lot of belligerent customers.
I've been threatened before, you know, like we've had to call the cops on customers because, you know, they were like drunk and belligerent. But yeah, it's not fun. Like, it's rewarding in some ways, but not all the time.
It can be tough to find a manager who can handle all that while keeping employees happy and keeping the doors open. David Hingis at the restaurant consulting company Technomic says Taco Bell knows all about that.
So the $100,000 is certainly meant as a huge incentive.
That would be a big step up from the $50,000 to $80,000 Taco Bell currently pays managers at its company-owned stores. Hinka says good managers can also train their staff and keep employees from jumping ship. He says that can save the company a lot of money, too.
It's economically painful to restaurants to have turnover. And so the more you can bring stability, the more you can bring leadership, the more you have quality people at the top, the better the entire restaurant is going to perform.
But even if it pays six-figure salaries, Taco Bell will still face competition for good managers.
Fast food and retail are very closely related, and they exchange people all the time.
That's Wasim Islam. He used to manage a Starbucks in Virginia. He says he started feeling frustrated with upper management and realized his managerial skills could land him somewhere else. After a year and a half at Starbucks, Islam left to become a manager at the pharmacy chain Duane Reade. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Producers Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin. Our fellow is Erica Soderstrom. I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.